God, that because of who you are, Father God, we know who we are. And we thank you for this word tonight. Father, we ask that you give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and a will to do what we hear you personally say to us, individually as well as collectively, Father. Lord, we come in tonight to learn how to maintain what you have already provided for us, Father. And I thank you for this subject, Lord. I thank you for the revelation knowledge that you've given us, Lord God. And we come, Father God, hungry, attentive, and ready. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, Paul is exhorting the brethren. And he's warning them that are unruly, to comfort the feeble-minded, to support the weak, to be patient toward all men. He sees that none of them wants to render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. He wants you to rejoice forevermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And then he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, what we're learning tonight is how to maintain your healing and walk in divine health. This is one of my favorite subjects to teach. Our proposition is you, your spirit, soul, and body need to be in sync with God for you to stay healed and to walk in divine health. It says, in the very God is God himself. He didn't send no substitute. God himself has provided healing for you. He said, the very God of peace. What does that peace mean? That peace means prosperity. It means one. It means quietness. It means set one again. So God has set again us. We are one with God. I thought that was so awesome. Because I'm not by myself anymore. I'm set at one again with God. That I'm not in this thing by myself. You're not in this thing by yourself. You are one with God. He says, and the very God of peace sanctifies you. That sanctification means he set you apart unto himself. Not to sickness and disease, not the report of your heritage, not of any symptoms in your body. He has set you apart unto God and God alone. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. See, God sees you absolutely perfect right now. What I see here is that you are doing the will of the Father. See, Paul tells them, you know, do the will of the Father. You know, walk in peace. You know, don't render evil to anybody. Quench not the spirit. He's admonishing them how to walk in the spirit, how to walk so nothing can come between what you and what God has already provided for you. He says that he's relating you to God, that you are relating to fellow man and God correctly. See, there's no such thing as I'm out of sync with you, but I'm all right with God. And there's no such thing I'm out of sync with God and in right with relationship with you. It goes hand in hand. Because we are made in God's image and his likeness, which with the body of Christ. If I'm not in sync with you, I'm not in sync with God. And so we think we can just walk around and be mad at one another and going to receive from God. It does not happen. Because see, how I talk to you, I'm talking to God. And that hurts because we do get upset. And we do allow our emotions to get out of control sometimes. But if we could stop and you know, sometimes, you know, I say, okay, how would I talk to my own father? How would I approach God? So then it makes me think that that's how I'm approach you. Because I don't go to God any kind of way. And I don't say anything to God any kind of way. But we think for some reason we can do the body of Christ like that and it doesn't affect our relationship with God. And it does. And that hurts because I'm like you. I'm no different. But see, the word is a two-edged sword. So as I'm studying, I'm going, oh, you know. And one thing I tell you, a little thing about in my household, you can tell when God's talking to me, because I start talking to you. Because if I got changed, it's going to be somebody else changing also. I ain't changing up in this camp by myself. But it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Because sanctification, it means to consecrate and set apart. So God, as I said, sees you completely whole. So the very God of peace himself sets you apart. And I pray that God, your whole, complete in every part, perfectly sound in body, entire. So it's no such thing as, you know, I tell this story often. Kenneth Hagin's praying for the people in the line, and he didn't see the people come up, and the lady got healed of blindness, but she walks back like this. He said, "Well, ma'am, come on back up here. You know, you can go away." Oh, she said, "Oh, I had to see, but I can live with this hip problem."
See,
we can't think like that. And see, that may be an extreme example, but how much stuff do you settle with?
Come on.
Even these eyeglasses. There are cultures that don't wear none. Sometimes we pick our battles. But God paid for the complete wholeness. So why not believe God for everything? Because we have a tendency to concentrate on this but leave this behind, like God can't take care of everything at one time. It's our mindset. How do we think? Okay. So then may the very God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, your rational soul, your vital principle part of you. And I found this interesting, the mental disposition. See, there's... there's a new wave going on. And it is even creeping into what we consider when we look in the Greek language and we look up things. If you don't watch yourself, I'll just say it, the Strong's Concordance, the new one, I don't even look at it. I go back to the old translation. Because if you compare what it used to say, what it's saying now, it's like it's drifting to what society is saying now. Woo! I'm telling you, look up your words. Because what it meant back then doesn't necessarily mean what it means today. And God is based on what he said, not what we've interpreted and made it to be to conform to this world right now. So the very God of peace himself sanctifies you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and your soul is your heart, your mind, and body, your body, be preserved. And something to be preserved, that means it already is. So to guard, and I found this interesting, to preserve means to guard from loss or injury, thus differing from to prevent, to escape. And so God, he is guarding you from losing what you already have. Not it having escaped you, but the fact that he's guarding you because it's something that belongs to you right now. Healing belongs to us now. And that of your very soul, that and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. God doesn't always prevent things from happening, but he keeps you in the midst of it. And that's something that, you know, it bothered me. God, why didn't this stop happening? And what God has been saying to me is the fact that our words set in motion things. Our ancestors set in motion things. And God, it has to come to pass. What God will do is keep you in the midst of it or take you out of it. And I often give this example. This woman of God, she an evangelist, and she wanted to go into the rough part of the neighborhood. And she had learned her authority, and God says, "Don't go." But she says, "No, I got authority. I can go in that neighborhood and speak." And she went in and got raped. See, God was trying to prevent her from getting raped. He's not going to stop the rapist, but he's going to stop us from having been in that position. Because, see, something got him there. And see, if God turned everybody around, where does our free will come in? God be controlling things, and God's given us the ability to control the earth, not him.
Right.
And so things that come down a pipe, God will protect you from, allow you to go through it. But he's not going to always prevent something, because then he becomes the god of this world and Satan is the god of this world. Obey God's lead, because if God prevented everything bad from happening to us, man would not have a free will. God would not, God would be in control when we're in control. God takes us through. Obedience gives you the way of escape. Obedience is your way of escape. Don't override the voice of the Holy Spirit. God is only obligated to do what he says. Gloria Copeland has said quite a number of times, there was a man who God told him not to turn this particular corner for 2 years straight. He kept telling him, don't turn at that corner. One day he turned, got hit, and he died. And we say, well, how could God let that happen to him? God had been telling him for 2 years, do not turn at that corner. I'm riding down the street in Oklahoma one day, and God says, don't turn. I said, I don't want to go down the street. Went down and had a flat tire. So God was trying to keep me from the flat tire. And may the God, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your spirit, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless, faultless. God's not holding you, you're holding you. God is not holding you to the cause of why you're sick. He's not holding that cause against you, because he says, by Jesus Christ, you have been healed. He said that he took your diseases, and he carried your pain. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed. So he's not holding sin against you, so you keep sickness and disease. So he sees you faultless. But you have to walk in holiness, so the devil has no right to attack you, but your sins are forgiven. Can you get that? I am forgiven. But I can't walk contrary to obedience and expect the doors to stay closed. They don't happen. He's not holding what I'm doing against me. I've opened the door. But see, all I got to do is repent and turn. Because that's what repenting is, turn. And the very God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Expect God to keep you until Jesus comes. Amen. Expect it. See, that's something I'm working on, that expectation part. I believe, I heard, I confess, I'm not in doubt, but am I expecting? Mm-hmm. You have to expect from God. If you're not looking for something, are you going to get it? Are you going to, is it going to manifest? Because truth be told, it's already on inside of you. It's not something that's got to come from the outside anyway. It's something that you already possess.
Amen.
So don't look to your body getting broken down because you're getting older. See, when I was in my 20s, everybody said, when you get 40s, your eyes start going bad. So I was confessing that. Guess what I got? I was expecting it to happen. What are you expecting? Are you expecting health? Don't expect the doctor's report. Expect the word of God to work.
Amen.
Don't expect the seasons changing. So the seasons are changing and the pollen's out and I'm going to get allergies and da-da-da-da-da. You what you expect, you draw to yourself. No matter what the world experiences, expect God to keep you. You know, you hear the reports that some kind of flu is coming over from China and all that stuff, and everybody's, you know, preparing themselves. And that, you don't walk in foolishness. I'm not talking about that. You hear from God, and then you do what God tells you to do. And God tells you to have a flu shot, have a flu shot. God tells you don't have a flu shot, don't have a flu shot. Hear from God and line your lives up with what God is saying to you and your family. Through the Lordship of Jesus Christ, believers must realize that God sees us absolutely perfect right now, without defect, and we must walk with awareness of that at all times. Because the enemy is out there 24/7. And not that I live in panic and I gotta be praying all the time when I'm in panic and I'm not praying so the enemy can come on me. I'm not talking about that. But as soon as a symptom comes, am I on it? No, you can't come here. Or I just let it ride and don't say nothing. Because something God has been ministering to me, what I say now it affects my 5 minutes from now. It affects my tomorrow. So where I'm confessing the word now, and I may not feel better in 10 minutes, but in the next hour, but what God showed me was, had you not been doing it, when the manifestation of the healing comes, if you not had done it, would it ever show up? Because see, what we talk about is that I'm speaking this word now, but I'm not even realizing I am affecting my tomorrow, whatever that long time tomorrow is. But if I'm not doing anything now, when I arrive into my next 5 minutes, when I arrive into the next 20 minutes, when I ride into the next hour, when I ride into the next 3 days from now, am I going to have what I have? Because if I didn't confess nothing, what am I going to get? Nothing. On my way to Tulsa one day, on the plane, got a headache. Lay down with a headache, woke up with a headache. Because I didn't speak no word. But as soon as I started to meditate on the word, the headache went. So are you affecting your tomorrow by what you saying to? Are you being lazy? I don't want to say that now. Telling myself, the day my daughter got hit by a car. In January, God had told me, to speak Psalm 91 over my family every day. Didn't know why. That particular day, I hadn't done it in a few days, but that day, God says, speak Psalms 91. I ain't got time. Being real, he told me 2 or 3 times, speak Psalms 91. I didn't take the time. He told my husband the same thing. He didn't take the time. It's real, people. Now, what would have happened if I had spoken? I don't know, and I'll never know. But I wasn't obedient. But God's faithful to his word that I have already spoken, because she's alive today and well.
Amen.
It's real. It's real, people. God sees you. We must walk with an awareness of our healing at all times, resisting anything that comes along to take away that state of perfection. Resisting anything. God sees you through the eyes of Jesus. He sees us whole. We must see ourselves whole. No matter what's going on in our bodies, even down if nothing's going on with you, with your family, your coworkers, you got to see them as the word sees them. Because that's, you speak that word, and that word creates. That makes what God has already provided when we speak that word. No matter what it is, no matter how long it's been, we speak that word, and I'm preparing my tomorrow. Because do I not say it? Am I guaranteed worse? Number one, your spirit, anybody got that? Soul and body are to be whole. A, who has that? Just read A. Okay, read A, the spirit man.
That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
And read the scripture again, please.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Now, salvation. Now, salvation just doesn't mean eternal life, and I have my ticket to heaven. And that's something that the body of Christ has got to realize. Because that salvation is, he's already delivered me. He's already protects me. He's already heals me. He's preserving me. I am doing well, and I am made whole. So when you hear the word salvation, just don't think that I'm saved, I got a ticket to heaven. No, I'm delivered. In the midst of this mess right now, I'm healed. In the midst of what the doctor's saying, I'm delivered from this thing already. I'm not trying to get there. This is something that belongs to me now. So just don't think when you hear the word saved or whatever subject that's going on, when you hear the word saved, know that you're delivered, you're protected, you're healed, you're made whole. Whatever that situation is, just don't think that you got, it's a ticket to heaven. Yeah. It's more than that. Because in heaven, it's already there. It's here that I need that word. I need protection here. I need deliverance here. I need wholeness here. So I want you to train your ear that when a man of God is talking, because we don't always say it from the pulpit. And a matter of fact, if you tune your ear in, they usually say something opposite and don't even realize that they're saying something opposite than what they just said, I'm saved. And they didn't look at that I'm delivered, that I'm healed in that situation. But I want you to train your ear that when you hear that, whatever the subject is, I'm delivered from that. I'm healed. I'm protected because it's not always go across the pulpit. I really want you to, because if you don't start thinking like that, you're thinking you're trying to get something that God has already given you. We've got to come to the place that all of this is already living on inside of me. It always belongs to me. I don't have to work for it. Whew. Who's reading number two? Hey.
Number one or number two?
Number two.
Number two. Knowing what salvation means gives you the knowledge that anything contrary to deliverance, protection, healing, etc., is to be resisted, not embraced as part of God developing you.
See, the world thinks, and a lot of Christians think, that sickness, disease comes upon me or poverty comes upon me because, that God is trying to teach me something. You don't see that nowhere in Scripture. God is teaching you anything from what God has already delivered you from and already paid the price for. See, He paid the price in the garden for my peace because he overcame his own will not to want to go all the way through to the cross. So in the midst of turmoil, I know I can overcome because Jesus overcame his turmoil. And because he overcame, because he never got sick, I don't have to be. Because we don't never see him poor, he don't have to be. We don't have to be. Because he overcame in the garden, I can have peace in the midst of the storm. No matter what is raging around me, I do not. You choose to be upset. You choose to be in turmoil. Because when you get your eyes on the word and look at what God says, you're not in turmoil.
Amen.
You're not all upset, but we choose to be because we got our eyes on the circumstances. Okay, number B.
The spirit man must be born again, saved, made whole. To understand the fullness of what God meant when he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
See, what you have to realize is that you are whole now. But in order to, see, you got whole in your spirit. But in order to bring that wholeness to your soul and to your body, you got to realize you are born again. You are belong to God. And because you belong to God, you're one with him. Because you're one with him, the anointing has already done it for you. You are not depending on how much you meditate. You're not depending on the nutrition. I'm drinking my juices and doing my smoothies. And I'm not depending on all of those things. I am totally dependent on Jesus Christ has already healed me. And my trust is in him and him alone. Because you can start trusting in your works. Oh, I meditated for an hour today, so I know I'm good. Oh, I know I exercised for 45 minutes today. Oh, girlfriend got it going on. And go to the doctors and report ain't changing. Where's my faith? Do I get disturbed now? Because things ain't, the report didn't turn out the way I wanted to turn out, so now I'm down in the dumps. Because I've looked at what I've done as opposed to what Jesus did. As I said earlier, Jesus didn't suffer sickness, disease. We don't have to suffer it. You have to trust what God has literally already done for you. And not allowing yourself to get entangled with your works, with I did something wrong, what's going on inside of me, how did I open this door? I don't get panicky about all of that, yes. I'm seeking the face of God and I want to know because I want to close the door. But that door closed or door that open ain't my life. Jesus is my life. So I have to constantly put my eyes, my heart, what I hear, God, you've already done the work. My trust is totally in you, God. I'm totally depending upon you. And so God made you just like himself. He gave you dominion over the earth so that you have kingdom working in your life, God's way of being and doing right. He wants his will to be done in you as it is in heaven, Matthew 6:9. God.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy will be done.
Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
No, that's it. And so God has made you like himself. He's given you dominion. Being born again, number two.
Being born again is the prerequisite for seeing the kingdom of God. God's way of being and doing right.
You can start right, you'll read it in a minute. But let alone rule in the kingdom. See, we have to realize, okay, read John 3:3, go ahead.
John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
So you have to realize that the kingdom of God is God's way of being and doing right. If you don't, okay, 1 Corinthians 2:14.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
See, if What you have to do when you're talking to someone who's not born again, you have to compare the natural with the spiritual. Case in point, you know, people say, you know, why did God allow my child to get sick? And the way that I explain that, you know, I'm a parent. I tell my children what to do. If they don't carry it out, am I a parent to blame for them not carrying out something I told them to do? When they're of age and they can do what you ask them to do, you've given that thing into their hand. If they don't do it, am I to blame? Same thing with man. God gave man authority in this earth realm. Mm-hmm. He's given us everything we need to walk up right before him, to experience everything that he's provided for us. But because we relinquished our rights and disobey, now we have to suffer the consequences. So you have to compare, because they can't see that. Because that you got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. They're not. So you don't waste all your time to teach somebody spiritual things that eyes are not open. You're wasting your time. They can't see. They can't see you coming to church and giving your money. They can't see me confessing that my husband loves me as Christ loves the church and he doing something else. They can't see that. Now, call it what it is. And as long as I call it what it is, it is going to stay there. Number three.
The life of God in the believer is God's way to develop him. John 1:4.
Okay, I think I missed that. Wait a minute, hold on. Where are you? What did you say?
Three.
Okay, go ahead, because I don't have that money. Go ahead. Let's go.
John 1:4.
Let's go.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
The life of God in the believer is God's way to develop him. It's not sickness and disease. Okay? Let's go back up. Number 2A.
2A.
Uh-huh.
Man was made in God's image, spirit, and likeness. His character and ability to create or make, and was given dominion. Genesis 1:26.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And in Genesis 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Would you have to realize that man cannot create anything God hasn't already created? We make. Create means to take nothing and make something. We cannot take nothing and make something. Cannot do it. We can make, but we cannot create. We can only make what God has already created. We can make healing because God has already given us healing. We can make peace and speak peace to ourselves because God has already given us peace. We cannot go beyond what God has already done. So I was listening to a CD today, yesterday, and Elder John, a pastor, was giving an example. They were trying to show a person something in the Word, and they showed him in the Word. So I don't believe that. I don't care what that says. If they don't care what that says, there's nothing else for me to talk about, because that's the only basis I have.
Right.
No other basis. And so whatever you want is what you say. That means that whatever you're going through, I encourage you to tell your prayer partner the solution and not the problem.
Amen.
So I don't need to call my prayer partner and says, you know, and I'm standing, and my head is hurting, and, you know, I ain't got a good report, and, you know, my stomach is hurting. I can just call him up and says, you know, I want you to stand in agreement that I'm totally healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I am pain-free. The report of the Lord is good. The report of the doctor is good. See, therefore, they can't go and call Susie, their prayer partner, and say, well, they got a headache, uh-huh. and their stomach is hurting, and they gone from that person, then by the time they get up, I done got a liver condition, and I got this down the road, because I told you the problem.
That's right.
Amen. I did not tell you the solution.
Amen.
So I've learned, I don't tell you my problems.
Amen.
God already knows what they are. So I don't need to repeat and keep them there. Because when I open my mouth, I'm making it.
Mm-hmm.
That's over your family as well.
Okay.
What are you saying when someone asks you how your child is doing?
Wonderful.
Amen.
Walking in the favor of God.
Amen.
God is doing excellent, doing great things in him, in her. Because see, if I tell you what they're doing, I'm keeping them there. When I tell you how I feel, I'm keeping myself, remember, that 5 minutes is my tomorrow? The next hour is my tomorrow? So if I'm saying today, I got all these problems in my 5 minutes from now, that's what I'm going to have. An hour from now, that's what I'm going to have. Next week, that's what I'm going to have, because that's what I'm saying. See, this thing about, you know, God can't change somebody's will. What happened to Saul? What happened to you? You were walking in darkness one day and something happened. You turned around. So I stopped saying, God can't do nothing with my will. Yes, he did. Yes, he did with you. Each of us was walking contrary to the word one day. And God got a hold of our will and he turned it around. And we're no different than my husband or my great nephew or my uncle down the street that acting crazy. Ain't no different. Because one day we were walking hard in sin. And in a split second, we will turn the other way. So what are you saying in any given situation? Are you perpetuating the problem? Or are you the solution? Number B, under two.
When man became disconnected from God, he still was spirit, still had the ability to create, make, still had dominion, but received the character of his Lord, Satan, the enemy.
That's all he did. He didn't stop with the ability. We think because he lost, he gave it away, that he stopped being. Turn to Genesis. Genesis 11, somebody please. Probably getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. Yeah, I'm not. Now Genesis 11 is talking about the children. You see, remember that Satan gave up his rights, but he didn't lose anything. He didn't lose the ability to make. He didn't lose his dominion, but his dominion now is subject to the enemy. We don't think like that, but if you look at the world all around you, are they making decisions? Are they making things happen that don't know God? How can they do that if they've lost it? Look at verse, somebody read verse 6 for me, 11th chapter.
Genesis 11, verse 6, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. This is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them.
Okay, here. They're not born again. They're not born again. But God said they made up their mind. They saying that they can make it happen. The difference is we're born again and can overcome the world. They cannot overcome the world because Jesus already paid the price and we have accepted his price. They haven't accepted their price. Number C.
Man's spirit, creative ability, and dominion are now subject to his Lord, the enemy. Because he became subject to the enemy when he submitted to the enemy's temptations.
Number D.
Man now cannot overcome and rule over everything until he knows Jesus Christ as his Lord.
1 John.
1 John 5:5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
See, we can only overcome if we know Jesus. Number four.
Man must receive salvation, have God's life on the inside of him, and must know Jesus Christ as Lord to overcome and rule over everything, including sickness and disease, to resist this world system and walk in the fullness of what God's called man to be in the earth realm.
Moments.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
In James 4:7, submit yourselves unto God, resist the enemy, and he will flee for you. See, you have to submit to God. You cannot do your own thing and expect to walk in hell. I want to get ahead of myself. For some reason, I think I'm missing something. Go ahead with C.
Your soul must come under and stay submitted to the rulership of the kingdom of God in order for you to rule in his earth reclaim.
Keep on going.
I'm sorry.
Number one, go ahead.
Your soul consists of your will, intellect, and emotions.
Go ahead.
The mind must be renewed to think like God, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
B.
The will must submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Acts 9:1-9
is the story of Saul, who was had gone to the king and asked him, can I persecute? Can I bring them back if I find them those who are in the way? But on the way, he got knocked down and his will changed. Go ahead. Number C.
C. You can submit your emotions to the word of God. Proverbs 15:1.
A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. See, I saw, and you can prove out the word. If somebody's arguing with you, talk softly. Just keep talking softly. They can't argue by themselves. Because God said, a soft answer turns away wrath. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when I practice that, God will bring his word to pass. It will turn the person's wrath away. Mm-hmm. But what we do, we argue with them. Yeah. And wonder why it's still heated. But harsh words, what it happens, it stirs up the anger. See, so we can submit ourselves to God. When we obey him, he's got the solution. Go ahead, number two.
Your soul combined with the spirit makes up your heart. And out of your heart is how you live your life. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Hallelujah. Keep on going.
Don't like yourself. Don't like your life. Mm-hmm. Pour in what you want to see through your eyes, ears, and mouth.
Go ahead and read 4:20-25, please.
My son, attend to my words. Incline thine eyes, thy ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them and help to all their flesh.
Go ahead. 24. Did you read 24?
Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far
So you got all three gateways in that passage, your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. You are sum total of what you've heard, you say, and what you see. And so if you want to change your life, and one thing that God quickened me to know, how much are we really putting healing on inside of us? Because the word is health. The word is life. And you're going to tell me if I'm pouring life in, death can stay? So how much are we actually pouring life in? Mm-hmm. Are we talking? I'm not talking to myself now, because I find myself not meditating, but I want my eyes to change. And I want all my organs to function properly. And I want the reports to go away. But how much is Lakora putting the word of God in Lakora for me? It's evident, ain't it? You can't tell me. Because God himself is life. His word is life. And that life going inside of me will tell me what I need to do. He will not keep me in the darkness. So if something's going wrong in my heart, he will reveal it to me. So it's not just a matter of me trying to get the symptoms to go.
Come on now.
It's the life that I'm pouring inside of me that will reveal why it's there. That's down to any relationship you have, anything in your life you have. And I'm telling on myself because the areas of my life are tore up. Why? I'm not spending enough time putting life in there to change it. And I want you to ask yourself, how much time are you pouring that life in? In the very area that you on your knees asking God to change. Next.
Our body houses our spirit and soul and is through which the kingdom of God rules in the earth. And we fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
And Mark 16:15-18.
Mark 16:15-18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Number one and two.
Mm-hmm. Present your body as a living sacrifice to God. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen. Number two. Mm-hmm.
Your body is a member of Christ, so look to him as to what you do with and how you take care of his body. First Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
2:15.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid.
Proverbs 4:26-27.
Proverbs 4:26-27. Mark out a straight path for your feet, then stick to the path and stay safe. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil.
So your body, the enemy, God can't do anything in the earth realm without a body, neither can the enemy. Both need our cooperation. And so who do you yield yourself to? You will not inherit revelation, peace, joy. See, these are the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's way of being and doing right. See, we think of the kingdom of God as the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is just what it is. It's in heaven. But the kingdom of God is here. So you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you're doing things contrary to the word. So we think about the sinner wanting to inherit the kingdom of God. They can't have the kingdom of God. We're the only ones who can have the kingdom of God. So when he talks about idolaters and people not doing right, he's talking about us that not walking with the word, because we won't inherit the kingdom of God. You won't inherit revelation knowledge when you need it. You put a whole lot of stuff in your heart and didn't want to produce healing. You want to raise the dead, but you got all this other stuff in there. I'm serious, people. You think Jesus was watching anything because we had a right to? We said, there's nothing wrong with that, but are you raising the dead? What's holding us up? What's keeping us? How much do you want it? Do you want to raise the dead? Do you want to rid yourself? Do you want to walk in prosperity? Do you want these things? But you put stuff inside of you that's choking the word, and when you need the word to come forth on inside of you and do what it's supposed to do, it can't because it's choked. The parable of the sower. God's not playing. And this is not to put us down, but if we don't wake up, I want to raise the dead. I want to speak the word and people are healed. Oh, we're seeing manifestations, but what did we see with Jesus? We're his body. And we wonder why we're not getting the revelation knowledge, how to do it. But we want to go and watch anything, hear anything. And why we can't do the works of Jesus. Watch what's going on inside of you. God is not playing. The man and woman of God would tell you cannot put anything in your eyes and then expect the word to work. Because when I listen to the men and women of God who are doing it, they're not doing all that other stuff. What do you want? What is the call of God on your life? Where are we? B. E.
God wants your whole being, spirit, soul, and body, whole. So his kingdom is established in the earth, and man can be reconciled to God.
Go ahead, 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians 5:18. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him.
So Acts 10, we have Cornelius, who his alms and his devotion as God has gone up to God. And God tells him to call for Peter. And Peter's able to give him revelation knowledge. But see, he's before God. He ain't before God complaining about his children. He ain't before God confessing all what's going on inside of him. He's worshiping God. He's giving to the poor. His time before God is to worship and praise him. He ain't spending all that time complaining and doing this and doing that. He is giving his alms, his devotion to God is going, and because he's giving it to God, God is giving him revelation on how to get saved. Oftentimes I say, if you ain't got but 5 minutes before, spend 4.5 hours, 4.5 minutes praising God. And then state your solution. Don't spend the whole time talking about the solution when you could be worshiping God for it. And what happens? His whole house gets saved because he takes his time to give to God. And now how many times we talking to God about everything and everything and everything and spend more time doing all that other stuff. And wonder why we ain't got no revelation. Ain't got no solution to my problem. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We lift you up and exalt you, Father. Help us to plug into you, Father. Help us to seek your face and call upon your name, to worship you and to adore you, Father. Help us to be accountable to the God that lives on inside of us. Accountable to the word of God. Hallelujah, Lord God, that we can do the works of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all got some homework coming. Some meditation.